Well, a warm welcome to you who just tune in. This is a production of the Good News Community Radio Station, and you listen now to the program called At Ease, made possible for us by the South African Military Christian Fellowship. You're about to hear or to listen to our devotion by Reverend Max Mupondi. He is from the Military Ministry International, called MMI. Also, you're going to listen to the South African Navy Band, Fame and Glory. After that will be our Military Challenge newspaper, The Testimony, that will be narrated for us by Graham Wilson. And the theme for this testimony is Chaplains Enter the War Zone. After that, our Captain Peter Lawrence will collaborate on how to evangelize people. And then after that, Riranzo Mangani will be there for us for the South African Military Christian Fellowship news. And then we will play out with another song of the South African Navy Band, Shine, Jesus, Shine. I trust that you will enjoy the program, be at ease, relax, and God bless you.
Most people have, at one point or another, struggled with the issue of identity. Who am I? Am I the son, daughter, wife, husband, employee of so-and-so? Sometimes we even allow other people to define who we are. In Matthew 16, Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others say Jeremiah or one of the prophets." Then Jesus asked them, "But who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven." Your identity or value isn't defined by your background, your failure, your successes, or your qualifications. As a believer, you have a new identity in Christ. In Galatians 2:20, Apostle Paul says, "It is no longer I who lives, but Christ lives in me." So don't settle for an identity that is temporal. Queen Elizabeth, being the most famous, celebrated, and decorated individual in the world that she was, didn't settle for an earthly, perishable, and disposable crown. She desired an imperishable crown of righteousness only Christ can give. In Philippians 3:20, Apostle Paul says, "I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to him in his death, and somehow attain to the resurrection from the dead." I want to remind you of who you are. You are a citizen of heaven. So don't settle for who people say you are. Yes, you are not perfect, but he is perfecting you. You only have to allow him to. Your value or identity doesn't come from a job, from riches, or from poverty. You are not who people say you are. You are who God says you are. Don't put your confidence in perishable things or even in yourself. Put your faith and trust in Christ Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Everything around us is changing. But Hebrews 13:8 reassures, saying, "Christ Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever." So let me pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for the new identity and value that you gave to us. Thank you for loving us so much that you died to pay for our sins. Thank you for the gift of life. Thank you for the shed blood of the Lamb. Thank you for making us children of God. Amen.
Thank you, Reverend Max Mupondi. Who am I? What a question. What a question. I struggled with that many, many, many years ago. Don't know why I am here on planet Earth. Don't know why I'm created for. As a teenager, I have a identity crisis. Where do I fit in this world? What is life all about? Who decided I must be here? And, you know, yeah, maybe there are some out there who also have an identity crisis. Because sometimes we try to find it in money, like the Reverend mentioned, in what people say we are. People label us and we think that is our identity. What I can do or what I can get or how I perform and so forth. And little did we know that our real identity is in Christ. And many, even when they come to Christ, they don't know that. It's not all of us who know this. Until the penny drop and see, but who am I? Then I have a purpose. I think many is wandering purposeless around because they don't know where does they fit in, where, who, and what, and all these W questions, you know, until the penny drop and say, Lord, but I am in Christ. I am a new creation. My identity is not in what this world can offer me or what people say I am. You know, they think I'm a washout or whatever, especially when things go tough and rough. You know, sometimes we have the tendency to measure God's love for us through those tough times. No, that's wrong. Once I became a child of God and know what is my identity, then I found my purpose as well. And know that God has created me. He has me on His heart. Thank you, Reverend Max Mupondi. And I trust that many of us are so blessed and let the penny drop for them as well. Really, my identity is no longer I that liveth, but Christ liveth in me. We're going to listen now to our first Navy band called Fame and Glory. Listen to it. They compiled it for us, and all the fame goes to God and all the glory goes to Him. Let's listen to it. Thank you. fame and glory. I think of a question as I listen to Reverend Max about identity. And I think of this piece of music that was just playing, Fame and Glory, and I think of the word glory. You know, Isaiah say that God is jealous about his own glory. I asked past Sunday to a congregation where I was preaching, when we talk about worship and we talk about who we are in Christ and we talk about, you know, that Jesus said for the woman at the well about true worship, when we really worship God out of our hearts, spirit and truth comes from the heart, not just lip service. Do you think that God is selfish when he say that I am a jealous God? That God is only concerned of his own glory? Do you think he is selfish? A thought to ponder about? Do you think he is, you know, self-centered when it comes to his glory? I would love to hear what is your comment on this. Send us an email. You will have the details when we're going to listen to the news. Love to hear from you. We're going to listen to Graham Wilson as he's going to narrate for us a wonderful testimony. And I want you to take what you've heard, what Reverend say about identity, and you listen to this testimony. And it's awesome. I saw many movies in my life, war movies and so forth. And I was there myself. And if you listen to this, because the theme of this testimony is chaplains enter the war zones. It let you think, deep thinking. These men that go into the war zones and risk their lives without any weapon. I want you to listen to it, and may God bless you.
The following testimony is taken from the military edition of the Challenge newspaper, the Good Newspaper. Chaplains enter war zone. Unarmed chaplains risk their lives to serve troops in Afghanistan. Military chaplains have been described as the rarest of rare, bravely accompanying soldiers into war zones with no weapon to defend themselves. In the current war in Afghanistan, it is no different. Benjamin Abeledo is one of the chaplains deployed to Afghanistan as part of a team ministry in support of the 4th Mechanized Brigade. Reverend Abeledo, 51, the brigade's senior chaplain, is spending 6 months working in the notoriously dangerous Helmand province, where all his skills as a minister are being tested to the full. Ben has been a chaplain in Afghanistan before, but he says things are very different every time he goes. Even for the experienced, there are things to learn. It's becoming more problematic, the way in which we are operating, the enemy, the weapons they are using. So in a sense, going there as a chaplain highlights the importance of being able to do our ministry and do the best we can for the soldiers through the good, the bad, and unfortunately sometimes the ugly. His brief to other chaplains includes instructions on how to deal with the dead, the wounded, and the bereaved. Ben's first tour in 2006 was particularly difficult because it was the first time the ministers went to Helmand. As Task Force Helmand senior chaplain, this time his role will take him to remote patrol bases where he will be existing on what he can carry in his backpack. Except for a weapon, he is expected to carry the kit the other soldiers carry, but as well as body armor and a helmet, he carries communion wine and wafers, prayer cards, Bibles, New Testaments, little crosses, things to facilitate our ministry, he says. The soldiers are more than happy to come and talk, and very often they ask you things, and if you have them, they are eternally grateful to you because it is something that they can take with them, to be with them wherever they go, explains Ben. The Christian faith helps many troops make sense of death and suffering they encounter in Afghanistan, explaining that there is eternal life for all who trust in Jesus and giving them comfort of God's presence in the midst of hardship. On operations, there is no church building, and often the chaplain will share the cookhouse tent, serving up prayers between mealtimes. It's a solitary existence in the remote patrol bases, but it is there, during the quiet times, that the crosses, prayer cards, and the chaplain's words are often most needed. As well as offering spiritual support to individuals and holding regular church services, the chaplain may be called upon to lead a repatriation ceremony, also known as ramp ceremony. This special vigil service for those killed in action provides time for the soldiers to remember a fallen comrade. A repatriation service is the unit's way of sending back one of their own, says Ben. It is the last time any of these soldiers will actually see their fallen. They will not be there at the funeral service, so it is one way of saying goodbye, a time to reflect, a time to mourn, and that has a sense of finality, because once the door of that C-17 closes down and the lights get shut down, it's actually like the committal. It is absolutely essential for this battle group, he says. We need it. The boys are basically have lost a friend, a comrade. They need to have a means where they can actually pause to reflect, to say thank you and say prayers for the family and for themselves. We cannot dwell on that too long because the work has to carry on. Former soldier Ben came to faith while he himself was in the army. He had been ordained as a minister for the last 22 years, 10 as a regular army chaplain. He has served in Northern Ireland and Bosnia, as well as completing two tours in Afghanistan. Throughout military history, chaplains have been decorated for bravery in action. Four have been awarded one of Britain's highest awards for gallantry, the Victoria Cross, and some 400 have received the Military Cross. They go out alongside soldiers unarmed. In Afghanistan, they face the heat, the dust, the dangers, relying only on comradeship, faith, and courage. Even in theatre, the ministers meet up for prayer. They are their own support network, and they are crucially aware of the need to remain spiritually fit in order to carry out their duty. Often it's not about the number of services they give or the number of soldiers they see, but the few spoken words and the sharing of faith with others in the most difficult of circumstances. Although farm army chaplains come from different faith communities, on deployment they are there for all soldiers, including those with no religious beliefs. Baptist chaplain Jonathan Daniel explains his vision for his ministry. I represent Jesus. I bring Jesus into these situations, not necessarily to preach, but to bring something of his love, something of his compassion, something of his understanding. The armed forces have many, probably most, who have no relationship with God, and a chaplain has the responsibility and opportunity to represent the love, compassion, and understanding of the loving Heavenly Father and Jesus to these combatants, often with life-changing and permanent results. Back in civilian life, it's often the chaplains and their words and examples that are remembered, even to pass on to their children.
Amen to that. I love what Graham has said concerning the testimony of Benjamin Abeledo, that he bring Christ into the picture. He bring Christ into the situation. He bring Christ to the war zone. And I think, if I think of the theme of the Reverend's message, you can only do that if I believe that you know who you are in Christ. How many times we saw, you know, some other Christians, the children of God, and you see they look so, and I don't want to say it in a negative way, not self-centered, but so self-assured. You can see they have it all together, you know, they act all together. You can see they have such a confidence, such a boldness, it is like, you know, there's something radiant. It's just shine out of them is because they know who they are in Christ. I don't have to perform. I don't have to try to prove something. I don't have to wear a mask. I don't have to do anything. It's like Jesus. When Jesus washed the feet of his disciples, he didn't thought, you know, I'm going to lose my authority here, or I'm going to lose something of myself, or what will people think of me? No, he knew exactly who he was. And he don't have to be shy or shun away from it. He washed the feet. Even if he say, I am a servant, I come to serve. He don't have to be afraid that somebody's going to take his title or his role or whatsoever. You know exactly who he is. And this is so encouraging that when I listen to this testimony, these men who risk their lives for you and me. And I have the privilege of met one of the chaplains in the army when we was on the border. And as a matter of fact, we escort them. They were gunners and we were infantry. And that particular evening, this chaplain, as they camp and we surround and protect them, he bring the message. And I could see there's something in this man. I didn't know then what I know now, but this man know who he is. When he talk with such confidence, such authority, he you know, when he look at you, and he make eye contact with each of us who sit there, with his own troops and with us who accompany them. You know, he look at you. It's not, it's like a fly-by-night thing. No, he look at you with such confidence, as if what he wants to convey to you is just penetrate into your heart. Wow. Yeah. May God bless you as you listen to this. And that really encouraged me tremendously. We're going to listen now to the captain as he's going to share with us how to share the gospel to someone else. And in such a time as this, because we don't know. Not all of us know. Some of us are shy. Some of us are introverts. Some of us would rather just give a track. It's okay. But there are also those who say, I wish I could be so bold like a lion and to do it. Well, here is some tips how to do that.
Good evening, At Ease listeners. These past 9 months or so, we've heard the two questions, as two spiritual questions regarding where you stand before Almighty God and the gift of eternal life. The first question being, have you come to that place in your spiritual life where you know for certain that if you were to die, you would go to heaven? And the second question, suppose you were to die and appear before Almighty God, and he were to ask, why should I allow you into my heaven? What would you say? Two piercing questions that need an answer, in which prayerfully you can now answer, or you were able to answer. But now the question being, don't you want to ask people those questions that you know and want to know? Where do they stand before Almighty God? Diagnostic questions to ascertain where they stand before God and perhaps help them to find salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. So perhaps you're in a foxhole, perhaps you're in a car or an aeroplane, and you have a few moments with someone. You might never see them again, but you felt led to share the good news with them. So how do you do this? Maybe it's also just with a neighbor. It's going to take over a few months. You can ask the two questions. And of course, one's got to earn the right. You can't just go in there guns blazing, so to say. It once happened at a Bible college where this outline was being taught, and they went out for practical training, got into a taxi, and the one student straight away said, suppose you were to die. And of course the one person in the taxi got such a fright that he jumped out, slid open the door and got out the first opportunity, worried that he was perhaps going to die. But of course, the question had been asked too quickly, and the right to ask the question had not been obtained. So over the next few months, we'll share how to share the two questions in the gospel. But we'll start tonight then with developing a friendly relationship. So this is critical. You know, also walking the talk. You've got to set a good example. People must see in you the love of Christ. They must see in you the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So the first point would be a sincere interest in the person's life. Ask him questions like where he went to school, why he joined the military, or the job that he's in. It's taking a sincere interest, not just quickly, but taking some time to get to know him better. And sincere listening, not just what's the next question or what next in developing a friendly relationship, but sincerely listening to his answers. And perhaps he's telling you about his grandmother that died or the financial situation he's in. And these are things that you can help with later. So listen sincerely that he can see that you're taking an interest in him. And sincere caring that there's follow-up and that you really, he heard what he had to say and you want to care and be there for him. And of course, this all goes about the Holy Spirit helping you, that you're dependent on the Holy Spirit helping you through this time. And so you'd be perhaps silently praying, others praying for you, knowing that you love to share the gospel, and you get prayer partners. But the first point then is developing a friendly relationship. And so I'd like to leave that with you, that before you ask the two questions, that you develop this friendly relationship with people. Even if it's just 5 or 10 minutes that it takes, or it might be over a few months, but you might only have that moment in life, that opportunity that is there and then gone, that you meet this person. And then you've sown seeds in his heart, the two questions, and the Holy Spirit, of course, dependent that he will continue to speak to this person's heart afterwards. So thank you. So take that to heart, developing this friendly relationship, that you can earn the right then to ask the two questions that you will come to in a few weeks' time. Now thank you. Every blessing in Christ Jesus the Lord. Amen.
Thank you, Captain Peter Lawrence, for that lessons of how to share the gospel with someone else. I heard a story, and a true story apparently, from a very famous evangelist. I think he passed away now. Famous over Africa, he's international famous, but he's sitting waiting for some president of some country, very important president, and he's waiting for him. And as he wait in the waiting room, there was two other people together with him. They are not, you know, they are not affiliated with one another, so they are total strangers. And these other two guys, the other two men, was talking about gambling. They talk about the horses that they bet on, you know. So as they go back and forth, no, this one, 10 to 1, 1, 2, 3, blah, blah, blah. And then they turn to this particular evangelist and say, or ask him, "Sir, what do you think, which horse will win?" He say, "The man with the white horse." "The man with the white horse? What are you talking about?" And then, because he was listening, not just hearing, he was listening attentively, he could share with them from their point of view, the man with the white horse that's going to win is Jesus Christ. And he started taking that as common ground to share with them the gospel of Jesus Christ. Just put your ear on the ground. Just listen to what people say, and you will find so much common ground that you can share the gospel with them. Friends, I trust you have a pen. But we're going to listen now to Riri Mangani as she's going to share with us the news.
Attention! Evening, South Africa. Good evening, listeners of At Ease FM. Riranzo Mangani, your news reader. We pray for the peace and an end to the terrible war in Ukraine. as well as for the peace and conflicts in other areas of the world. Let us continue to pray that the soldiers fighting on both sides in Ukraine tend to and find comfort and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for their safety and the gift of eternal life in heaven. That they will have the peace that surpasses all understanding through Christ Jesus the Lord. Please remember to pray for the royal family who mourned for the passing of the Queen Elizabeth. Also for our brothers and sisters in the UK Armed Forces Christian Union, Military Ministry International and the chaplaincy who mourned the passing of their Queen. The Association of Military Christian Fellowship Prayer, AMC Prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sins. Bless the servicemen and women of all nations, and grant that we know the joy of being all in one in Christ Jesus, that we may be filled with your love and pass it to one another through the power of the Holy Spirit until his coming again. Amen. Please pray for the SANDF and other South African troops presently deployed to northern Mozambique to conduct peacekeeping operations. Pray also for the naval and air support as well as the medical staff all serving in the different areas of the operation. Planning for the Regional Association of Military Christian Fellowship Interaction, which is again taking place in Madagascar from the 8th to the 15th October 2022, continues to go well. Military ethics will be one of the subjects included in the program. Please pray for the preps to go well. Please consider financially supporting a delegate or delegates to attend from South Africa. Our SMCF please need urgent financial support to still send one naval petty officer to Madagascar to attend the interaction. We thank God for the support so far to purchase one air ticket, one air return ticket. Do consider whether you might help financially towards the airfare for the remaining ticket. We please value our listeners' prayer for this news item. We thank God for our SANDF chaplaincy. Please join us praying for their ministry and the service in the SANDF. The SMCF Working Committee met on Saturday, 27 August, to update our constitution, as well as discuss a few other matters. Please pray for the follow-ups to do and work now required on updating our SMCF constitution. Please consider how you listeners might become more involved in supporting the ministry of the SMCF in the SANDF. This might be through prayer, financially, or other means. Let us know and we will further interact and contact you. Your support will be very much appreciated. I thank you. Much love for you, and God loves you so much. Remember, our contact details are 062-028-7546. I repeat, 062-028-7546. You can use a call or either WhatsApp. You can also email us on our email at smcf3@gmail.com. I repeat, smcf3@gmail.com. Or else, use our at ease email address, which is ease@gncr.org.za. ease@gncr.org.za. And you can also text us on our messenger, on our Facebook page at SMCF Facebook page, South African Military Christian Fellowship. I thank you. Have a good evening.
Well, folks, we come to the end of our broadcast for this program now. May God bless you as we're going to play out with the song of the South African Navy Band, Shine, Jesus, Shine. Let the Lord shine through your life until we meet again next Tuesday, the Lord's willing, the same time, the same place. God bless. Be at ease.